Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. That is my mission. I want to help you wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you want to call in and talk with me, the number here is 323-203-0815. That is 323-203-0815. You'll be connected with my engineer, Ronan, and he will patch you through to me. I can't wait to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you. Because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, and any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The problem is what is eating at you. What is eating at you? So call in and let me know. Or you, if you're on Instagram, you can also just post a question in the comments. So I got a message that said, hey, you started talking about ways to feel good about yourself. And we already have Carly Gash calling. So I'm going to hold that thought and get back to it. Hi, Carly Gash.
Hello.
Hi, Carly Gash. Hello. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Nina. So that's a lot of interesting things are going on. So I was reading this psychoanalytical book, yours and the one you co-edited. And I started understanding how the whole psyche works. And so yesterday I woke up, I had my breakfast and I couldn't eat more. Although I have this habit of binging and going through the day, I couldn't push any extra piece into myself. I was not hungry in the first place, and I was not hungry, and I just couldn't. So the whole day passed. I know that I had to eat somewhere later in the day, but I didn't want to because the day before I binged, and then I just didn't eat till the next morning, and then today I started eating and I ate a little more during breakfast and some carbs. I guess I just started freaking out because I woke up a little weak today. Maybe because of hunger or whatever, but I was not hungry. My body was weak, but I didn't have physical hunger. So,
well, may I interject weakness and feeling weak that way can be a sign of physical hunger. Feeling lightheaded, because if you ate breakfast and then you didn't eat anything the rest of the day, that's also not good. That can set you up for a binge, actually, because you get so ravenous, mm-hmm. You can't stop eating. But feeling lightheaded or weak is a sign of physical hunger. It is not always mm-hmm. that gurgling. And by the way, I want to say, Regan on Instagram is saying, hi, Maya, Kelly, and Carly Gash. The girl gang is here. So just wanted you to know you have some fellow babesters who are here listening.
Hi, Regan. Hi, babesters. So good to hear from you guys.
So, Carly Gash,
excuse me.
I would say that the focus that you have today is on what you're eating, but what about what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're wanting, what you're not wanting?
So the reason why I didn't eat yesterday and I didn't want to binge because the day before yesterday I had a very stressful day at work. Some of the person was really attacking me, my personality, always. She always does. And, but, you know, I I was thinking yesterday, why? I was like really thinking what's going on. What is she triggering in me? Like, who she reminds me that I'm reacting so strongly, and then I go and binge, like, without thinking that what's going on. So I felt very, like, started remembering her behavior. And it turned out that it's my aunt, the one, like, the devilish one, the one I was scared. It's just the same psychically unhealthy behavior. And I'm like, no wonder. No wonder I've been binging for so many months. No wonder I've been in a constant distress, especially at the workplace, especially. And then
so
the next
Carly week, Gash, look, I just want to pause. So there are some people who are new listeners or may not be familiar with what you're talking about. So I just want to say that what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is that you realized that there is someone at work who is very reminiscent of someone who was very hurtful to you in the past, your mean aunt, and that being in the presence of this person is stirring up so many intense feelings that you've been focusing on cakes without realizing that what was eating.
It's not even being, this is correct. And it's not only being in the presence. Being in the presence and having those feelings is a consequence. But she did deliberate attacks on me, verbal, she was passive aggressive, sarcastic, saying opinions, like belittling me, disrespecting, devaluing all I do. You know, all this classical bunch of shit, which my aunt and
toxic realized it.
Life did.
But you realized it?
I couldn't get it.
But wait, let me just finish. What you're saying is you had this epiphany. You realized that you were getting triggered in the present and by the past, because this person in the present is familiar, and that you were distracting yourself. By the way, I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Okay. That you've been distracting yourself or soothing yourself or comforting yourself or all of the above with binging, with cakes, and that once you realized this, you were able to just kind of eat when you were hungry and not binge. And that is a huge achievement. It shows that once you realize what's eating at you, you can change.
Yeah, that was a very interesting experience. For the first time in my life, I was like in touch. Yesterday, I was the whole day in touch with myself to the point. So when I came home and I was so tired by the end of the day, I was like, I don't want to eat. All I want is just to have some sleep. So I went to bed early. I took care of myself. I woke up early and I'm like, I woke up so rested and happy. And I, actually yesterday I was crying because it was the first time in my since I was a very little kid, when I got in touch with myself and heard what I wanted. So when I figure out that this person is like really messing up, and it's not she reminds me of, she does that. She does actions which cause me like distress and like me feeling bad. So I just, when on Monday this happened, I decided in my own head, I said, I'm not going to let her toxicity in. Then instead of binging, I was not thinking to binge. I was thinking to stand up for myself. I shared in the group. I did live in Binge Rebate. Two girls joined. They were supporting me. We talked. They were supporting me with their comments. So I felt so good after talking to them, like really supportive, loving people, my friends. And then I didn't binge that day. It was Monday. So yesterday, I spent the whole day in touch with myself.
Isn't that amazing, by the way? And by the way, hi, Josh on Instagram. Good to see you here. Carly Gash, isn't it amazing that when you share what's going on with you, when you share your thoughts, your feelings, your anxieties, your hurt feelings, your angry feelings with somebody else and you are heard, isn't it interesting that that urge to binge goes away? And isn't it interesting that when you respond to your is like ditching yourself. It's a self-abandonment. Seems like you're doing it for yourself, but you're actually abandoning yourself. When you show up for yourself and when you let other people show up for you and with you, guess what? Things with food change too. And that is a beautiful example of that. And I'm so glad to hear that you're taking advantage of, as you just said, you're a member of the Binge Free Babes, that you're joining in the Facebook group, you're sharing what's going on. Some of the other babes were just saying hi on Instagram. That there's that sense of community and safety with other people that you did not have growing up. But when you have it, mm-hmm. you feel safe with other people. You feel safer. You feel better. You feel as if you're comforted by others, and not. And then food doesn't.
And the group, they really see me for who I am, and really like they do respect me, and I like them so. I love them so much. So after that, I read the message. My mom sent me a message yesterday, but I listened to it today. There was a bunch of like, and she said, "Oh, don't worry about me." And then I responded, "You know what? I'm not worrying about you. Don't say that. I'm not worried about you at all. It's your responsibility. Your life is your responsibility." And then I called to my like uncle who I had troubles with too. The last attack from him was about 3-4 months ago when his wife left him after 16 years living with him, having 4 kids. And she was also listening to some psychologist podcast. And then after that, he sent me a voice message saying, "You know what? Don't send my girl kids any links on psychologists. Don't like stuff their heads with this bullshit, psychological bullshit." I'm like, "Of course I will do that. They've been living with an abuser. They need to get out somehow, at least in their own head." I never responded till I called now 3-4 months later. We started talking, and here again, what's going on? I'm like, "We're spiking." He's like, "Oh, of course. We're just," what did he say? He said, "Oh, it's some Jewish bullshit. There's a world organization just need to sell those vaccines." I'm like, "Okay, here we go." And then he called me by my childish name, and I said, "My name is Carly Gash. Don't call me by my nickname, childish name." He said, "Well, for me, you will always be this childish nickname." I said, "Okay, let's listen to what he says next." And he's like, or what? "Your psychologist, like, they ban you from calling you your childish name. So I cannot call you your childish name, nickname." Like, so in less than 1 minute conversation, he managed to abuse me a couple of times, be disrespectful, belittle me, and be sarcastic. And then I said, "Why? What is this sarcasm for? What? Why are you doing this?" And he's like, "That's all your psychologist taught you." And I'm like, he then tried to hang up with something. My phone glitched, and then I put down the phone, and I was thinking of you saying, "Don't go to empty well, hoping that there is water." I think today, like, I knew that, but today I wanted to finalize that if people are not developing themselves and not working on themselves constantly, they're not going to do it. It's pretty much how they live life. They're going to be like that, majority of them, especially like toxic and hurtful ones.
Yeah, so Carly Gash, great job in standing up to your uncle. And I would also say you're doing a great job of standing up to the internal bullies as well, because we have the external people who say horrible things to us. Josh from Instagram is saying that Borat makes fun of Kazakhstan and has a lot to say about the entire nation. We don't want to make generalized views of anyone, but we can say.
Well,
that,
yeah, Josh. First of all, I want to make clear. I share a lot about my country, but I really love my country and respect. People are nice there. I'm talking about particular people who hurt me. And I don't want people to get like the wrong message that I'm saying bad things about my country or people.
I'm not
talking about specific group of people who hurt me.
Yes. And good clarification.
Some of things going on in society, which each society has their own troubles. Every developing country, every country has their own issues.
Great point. I need to move on, but before I move on, I need to say to you that this is a wonderful job of speaking up to people, to other people who are bullying you and trying to put you down and call you by the childish name and just don't want to hear from you. You did a great job of standing up to that person, and listen for that kind of a voice within you. Stand up to it within you as well. Make sure that you don't take that bullying from yourself, and that whether it's your uncle's voice, your aunt's voice, or anybody else's voice, make sure that you don't do that to yourself, and take in, as you are doing, the kind voices of other people. You're doing a wonderful job, and it's great to see of doing that, and it's great to hear you each week as you move through that process of feeling like helpless to cakes, to now really realizing what's going on and why you were turning to cakes. So I just want to say thank you for sharing with us, and good clarification that not all people of any country are anything good or anything bad.
It's just because I specifically mentioned it so many times, talking about my negative past experiences in the attempt to heal them and deal with them specifically on the show. It may sound that blah, 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 but no, it's a great country. People are so great and like so awesome. It's just, I'm dealing with what I'm dealing. And thank you so much. I'm standing up for myself in my head more and more. Still a lot of work to be done. And I'm really internalizing your kind voice and the girls and all the people who text, send comments here on the show on Instagram. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say that each time when I share, I feel so bad. But like, just my, I'm very grateful if my experience can help someone else.
There are people out there who can relate to what it is like to be told that you're not the way you're supposed to be, who can relate to being disparaged and dismissed, and who have internalized those voices and are mean to themselves and are now realizing, oh, wait, you know what? I'd never say that to anyone else. I'm not going to say it to myself. The whole key to changing your relationship with food is to change your relationship with yourself. When you are kind to yourself and supportive, and when you respond to yourself, as it sounds so easy, it's so hard. It really is hard. But when you are kind to yourself, then you give yourself comfort words instead of comfort food. And food stops becoming a problem, and it just becomes something that part of a delicious part of life. Because someone the other day said, oh, food is fuel. It should only be fuel. No, it should be enjoyed. Pleasures of life, you should enjoy it. But I won't go off on that tangent. I just wanted to say, if I was in the radio station, if I were at the studio, I would be pressing my large crowd applause for you.
Thank you. I will applaud for myself.
Thank you, Ronan.
I got it.
Ronan, awesome. Thank you. That was courtesy of Ronan, my amazing engineer. You deserve every clap. So thank you, Carly Gash, and have a beautiful day, and keep being nice to yourself.
Thank you. Take care. Sending you hugs and love. Thank you.
Bye, Carly Gash. Aw. Yeah. You can see how Carly Gash is starting to realize that the past is haunting the present, and there are people in the present that remind her of the past. So when you have a double whammy like that, when you have a boss in the present who reminds you of your mean uncle or mean aunts from the past, it all can feel like too much. But when you recognize it and process it and work through it, then cake becomes cake, and it's something that you have for dessert or at tea or whatever, rather than your best friend and your worst enemy. Okay. Again, if you would like to join me, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And I want to continue with, someone had asked me if I would finish what I'd started a few weeks ago, which was giving some tips on how to feel good about yourself no matter what your weight. And one of those tips is, sexy is not a size. Sexy is an attitude. It is an attitude that makes you desirable, appealing, exciting, and interesting. It is not a number on the scale. Another tip, take care of your body. It is where you live. Don't wait until you are thinner, stronger, tighter, or lighter to appreciate your body. Take care of your body just as you would all your most important stuff. Your body is your most important and valuable home, and it needs TLC. It needs care. Also, appreciate all that your body can do. Your body can give life and take you through life. Whether you are playing with kids or going on vacation, oh, remember vacation? I miss vacation. I miss going to restaurants. I miss going out. I miss giving hugs. I miss getting hugs. There's so much I miss. Whether you're going on a walk or socially distancing from people and seeing each other, like, realize your body is pretty amazing. You just want to really take care of it. Promise yourself today to stop letting the size of your jeans or the number on the scale dictate how you feel about yourself. Think about your best friend. Think about someone you love. Would you like them better if they lost weight? Have you ever said, wow, you know what? I really like so-and-so, but I would like them so much better if they would just lose 20 or 30 or 100 pounds. Oh my God, they would be so much better. I would love them so much better. No, of course not. You would never in a million years think that you would like someone better if they would just lose weight. So what makes you think you will feel better about yourself for the same reason? Remember this, the bathroom scale is a piece of plastic and metal. Don't let a piece of plastic and metal have so much power over you. Think about why people love you. Is it your fabulous sense of humor? Is it your amazing hugs, even the Zoom kind? Is it your creativity, your generosity, your kindness to animals, your humor? Just who you are? Are you just fun? Are you just nice? Are you just calm? Are you just someone that makes them feel better? There is so much more to you than the number on the scale. So think about those tips. Think about that. Because we can get into a place where we just look at what we don't like. And I'm not saying, hey, just accept yourself as you are. Accept your body as you are. There's always things that we want to change. Just accept it in context. Don't make it the most important thing in the world to be fitter or thinner or whatever it is you want to change about yourself. Make it part of being a healthier you, but don't make it the criteria for your self-esteem. Okay, so recently I did a post called 5 New Rules About Exercise That Might Surprise You. I did a post on Facebook and people really loved it, so I wanted to share it with you. It is called, again, 5 New Rules About Exercise That Might Surprise You. Josh is also asking me on Instagram, are you worried about getting the vaccine? You know what, Josh? I am not worried about getting the vaccine. I am worried about getting COVID. I am worried about not enough of us getting a vaccine. That's what I'm worried about. I think this vaccine has been vetted, and it is important that we all get it. So that's my thought. And before I start talking about exercise, we have another caller. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Janine. How are you?
Hi, Janine. Nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm excited I can talk to you on a Wednesday afternoon. That's unusual for me, but I'm happy. So good.
Awesome.
I was actually calling because I know it's about, you know, being kind to yourself and feeling your feelings, and that I totally get that. I've been really having like this urge at this, like for at least a week or two to like download a diet app or count calories or join like all those advertisements like that they have for, you know, what to eat and how to eat. Just it's like a tracker. And I feel like, oh, if I eat to avoid my feelings, then I'm never going to feel it because I have to restrict so I can feel it. And it, like, I can feel all of those like old messages coming really strongly. And I just wanted to kind of pass, get those out of my head, I guess.
Well, I'm so glad that you called, because I hear this often, this suddenly the diet starts calling, like the, oh, maybe mm-hmm. I should just go back to that. Maybe I should just go back to that thinking. So let me ask you this. If you weren't thinking about dieting, if you weren't thinking about all of that, what would be on your mind?
What would be on my mind? I mean, my first answer would be how, like, the amount that I weigh would be on my mind. Oh, I'm overweight. I'm fat. Like, that would be on my mind.
Okay, then, you know what? I have a magic wand at my office that everyone tells me works just slowly. But if I were to take my magic wand and wave it over you and say, Janine, I am taking away immediately all thoughts of diet, food, exercise, and weight, anything related to that. You couldn't think about that. Your mind cannot have those thoughts. What would be left? What would you be worried about or bothered about or upset about if you weren't able to think about any of those things?
I guess it would be having to deal with what I'm doing. What's the next step I'm going to take in my marriage? I guess it would be, that would be the answer to that one.
Okay. Well, that was a very brave answer. So you're having some issues with your marriage.
Right.
And do you feel comfortable sharing just a little bit about what you mean by having to think about the issues? Is it about making a decision?
I mean, it's just that I feel like the right thing for me to do is to get out of my marriage. It's something I've wanted for a long, 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 long time, but I often have trouble letting myself have what I want. So, you know, it starts with the roller coaster, the impact it has on, even though my son's 18 now, but he's not graduated high school yet. And then, you know, having to move, and then like the family and making my husband feel bad and like all of that. It just, all the impacts of everybody else, what it would do for everybody else comes up for me, which is hard to deal with because I don't, you know, I'm always worried about everybody else. So, and then also the other side of that is that I'm afraid if I won't let myself do it, and then I'm going to really hate myself because I know that it's the right thing for me. So, but then worried that I'm not going to have the courage to do it.
Okay. So then you have very real feelings in the present about steps you have not, a future that isn't here, about, so you're worried, you have anxiety or guilt you have not created. You have not left your husband. You have not happened right. to deal with the family. You've not done all that, but you have these intense feelings now just at the thought of doing that. And it is easier to think about losing weight than it is to think about dealing with the situation and the feelings the conflict and all that comes with leaving your marriage.
Right. That's true.
This is weighing heavily on you, obviously.
Right.
And I want to just acknowledge your courage and even sharing that and saying that.
I mean, I've even know where I'm moving. Like, I already found a place, and you know, like I've got everything except feels like the final step of actually taking the plunge. And it's just, it feels a little overwhelming. Not a little overwhelming, it feels very overwhelming. If I didn't have to worry about anybody else, I would do it. If it was, you know, if I only worried about me, it would be fine.
you know, my friend Kelly Gunter, who is my, co-host, is that the right term? I'm not sure. In our Binge Free Babes community, she has a saying, and it is, don't set yourself on fire to keep everybody else warm.
I love it.
I think that applies very much to you. So here's the thing, Janine. Clearly, thinking about dieting and all of that is a distraction from all of this weighty stuff, all of the heaviness about leaving and what it would do to your family, the guilt about leaving your husband and all of that. You have to just think about it as one step at a time, like instead of globally, like, okay, what do you imagine? You said your son is still in high school. So then what do you imagine? And then what's the fear? And then what's the reality?
So what do I, I'm so sorry because I was getting a beep in the phone. What do I imagine? What do I fear? Yeah, and then what else did you say?
What is your fear and what is the reality? So the fear is that you tell your son you're getting a divorce and then what?
Well, he knows. That's already been, he's already seen the place to move to and all that. It's not him. It's me, my own guilt about leaving somebody as needy and emotionally like unstable as my husband.
So you're afraid that if you leave your husband, he will be in such a terrible state because you left. That the idea of hurting him is causing you to stay stuck.
I think I'm afraid that me leaving makes me a bad person.
Why would it make you a bad person?
Because he's needy and I'm the, giver. Because it would disrupt my son from, the family. Not that he wouldn't have both of us, but it would be different. It goes back to me. Like, if I'm not giving, I'm bad. If I'm not sacrificing myself, if I'm not, all that stuff.
So if someone else is cold and you fail to set yourself on fire, you're a bad person.
I mean, seriously, I know that's illogical when you say it like that, but it is, I think as I, grew up just having to meet really emotionally unstable people's needs, and I did, that's how I survived, I had to. So that's what's happening.
So there's an idea that you've taken as a truth that if you don't sacrifice yourself to make other people happy, then you're a bad person, and that you're,
right.
That somehow other people's needs are more important than yours.
For sure. I definitely think other people's needs are more important than mine, for sure. I mean, that was good.
Yeah. So the important thing to do is to challenge that idea that you are supposed to give up you to make other people happy. And that if you choose not to give up you, that reflects poorly on you, and that means you're a bad person. I know logically you know that's not true, but it's maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. You logically, rationally, you're not a bad person if you leave,
right?
But it feels
like
you're a bad person.
Exactly.
How old is that? How old is the feeler of the bad feelings? First age that comes to mind.
I mean, my first thought was five.
Five years old. First association to being five.
What was my first association with being five?
Yeah. Memory of being five.
I don't know. My first response is, that's when I realized that people thought I was fat.
And if you were fat.
Which I wasn't, but they thought that I was. It's so weird. They told me I was, but I really wasn't. I have pictures. But they were just so weirdly, obsessively thin that they said I was fat, but I really wasn't. It's just the weirdest mind game. It was really sad.
I think there's a little bit of a parallel, like that you at five, you were told you were fat and you weren't. And now you want to leave your husband and you feel like that would make you bad and you're not.
Interesting. That's a good point.
Go on, sorry.
No, you go.
No, you go. I would much rather hear from you.
I just feel like I somehow am trying to convince the crazy people in my life that what they're saying isn't true. Like, oh no, I am really good, or I'm really not fat, or I don't know. It just feels, it feels like a vicious cycle of insanity. Like, I was so helpless back then, of course. And by the way, what parent tells their child that they're fat, especially at five, especially a female? I mean, it's just insane. A five-year-old, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, when I say that logically, I can see the ludicrousness of it all for sure, but the emotional impact is still there.
There's some part of you that's proving you're not bad, that you're a good, and somehow the proof of that is, look at how much I give up to take care. I will suffer, and I don't matter. I will not let myself matter. But actually, as I say that, it's almost like you weren't treated as if you mattered. As to your point, what mother tells her 5-year-old daughter she's fat? Boo!
Yeah.
Robin, can we get some like large crowd booing if you hear this? Like, ew, that's just wrong.
Right. So wrong.
Yeah, it's very wrong. And so it's like, I'm wondering if you had to take care of other people to even get along in that family. Did you learn early on that you had to give up any hope for being cared for and care for them?
I mean, absolutely. My mother is a narcissist and my dad flat out told all of us kids that we had to take care of our mother. He would say those words. You need to take care of your mother. You need to worry about your mother. You need to do what your mother wants. You need to. I mean, that was drilled over and over again to the point where when I was crying when my grandmother died, my dad said, it's your mother you should be worrying about. Like, I wasn't even allowed to express grief.
I have an idea, Janine, which is that your mother was very narcissistic and she didn't care about the feelings of other people at all. If you, and she thought it was all about her. And so if you think about you, then it's like you're as bad as she was, a bad person who only thinks about herself, not about other people. It's as if you could either be her, which is all about herself, and not think about the feelings of anyone else, including her 5-year-old daughter, and I'm sure up till now, or you were like you, which is give up you and make sure you take care of everybody else, be the opposite of your mom. So perhaps this fear of leaving your husband, and because of what he'll feel, is that you're afraid that makes you a narcissist as bad as your mom.
Exactly. I feel like it's so black and white. Like, either I just want to be completely opposite of her in every way. Like, I don't want to do. So I hear you. I think what you're saying is absolutely right.
Yeah, the pendulum has gone too far the other direction. There's being selfless, which is it's all about you. I don't matter, which is kind of where you are. And which leaves you empty, and which food can fill you up, or thinking about dieting can distract you. Or they're selfish, which is hey, you don't matter, it's all about me. Both of those are extremes. In between is, hey, self-care means I'm going to take care of myself sometimes and I'm going to take care of other people sometimes. But I'm going to figure out
a balance.
Balance. So you are not your mother if you leave your bad marriage. You are not your mother. You are a woman who's taking care of herself.
Which is even like being in a healthier relationship would be the total opposite of her too. You know what I mean? Just giving and staying is of course the opposite of her, but taking care of myself and being in a healthy relationship is also the opposite of her. So I can still be the opposite of her. You know, I mean, I obviously would never, at least I don't think I ever, ever, ever would turn into a narcissist or could be one, because it's just not who I am. Like, I just don't think I ever could do that.
People either are or they're not. They don't suddenly become. A switch does not flip and suddenly they go from, you know, one thing to another. No, you're not going to be your mother. You're just going to be someone who's going to think about herself for a change in an appropriate way.
Right. In a healthy, mature way, in a way that's, you know, a gift to myself, which is what I really need, because it's just like, you know, of course I married a needy person. So I can take care of them just like I can take care of my mother, you know, just insane. I have to get free. I want to, and I will. I just need to take the steps emotionally to be able to handle it, and not so that I don't, like, you know, freak out or run back when I do take the steps.
Well, you took a big step today by stepping away from dieting and realizing the lure of that is to distract you from what we ended up talking about, and to realize that you are not a narcissist if you do what's right for you.
Okay, very good point. Thank you so much. It's always so wonderful talking to you. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you, Janine. I'm so glad you called. So glad
I'm glad to talk to you.
Okay, take good care and let me know what happened.
Okay, thanks. I will. Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye.
Ronan, do we have room for one more person? I think I saw that we had someone else. Hello, caller. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hello.
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 Who's this?
This is Kelly.
I thought so. I was like, I know that voice. Kelly. Kelly. Who is this?
Yes.
Is this Kelly Gunter?
This is Kelly Gunter.
This is Nina.
Nina, oh, I could barely hear you. You're so far. It's so different that I didn't recognize your voice. Oh, good. I'm glad I'm through.
So this is that's pretty funny. So I recognize Kelly's voice and she did not recognize my voice, even though she's calling me. So Kelly is my co-host of the Binge Free Babes program. And what a surprise. I guess you were hearing that so many people were on today, and it's good to hear from you. What's going on, Kelly?
Yes, I was listening and I just thought I would speak to the manager first before they put me through. So that was the confusion. No, I just was listening and I thought how powerful it was when Carla Geisch was speaking about how the past really infiltrates the future if we allow it to. And I just thought about how we work with the people in our group every week with that, about learning to not allow the past to control our future. And I was so moved by that, I just had to call in.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. Yeah, I mean, as you know, the whole premise of the work that I do and that we do in the group is that we're haunted by the past. We think it's behind us, but it has everything to do with what we deal with in the present. And I think my last caller, Janine, also is so that was so beautifully presented in a way that it was because she had this narcissistic mother that she's so afraid of being narcissistic herself, and that's kept her stuck.
Yeah.
And so to realize, like, how is the past haunting your present, and how is food and dieting and all of that distracting from or expressing what's going on? As you know, like, I feel like a detective. Like, oh, I'm a detective of the mind. And in the group, Inventory Babes, we're detectives, right? We're like, okay, we're going to solve the mystery of why you're feeling this way, or why you're eating that, or what's going on. And it's really so amazing when you realize it's not about what you're eating, it's about what's eating at you. That's where all the gold is, and that's where all the change comes.
Absolutely. You know, I tell you all the time, you are the sharpshooter of the soul. You can dig in there and spot what's going on and help people figure it out. And, you know, I just think it's such a powerful, powerful lesson. We can lose all the weight that we want. You know, I lost 243 pounds. I kept it off for 18 years, but I didn't feel that pain. And it came and it got me. You cannot run fast enough to get away from the past if you don't let it heal, if you don't work through those issues. And you are magnificent at always being able to zero in and help people figure that out. And, you know, I just see people every day who think losing weight is going to be the answer to all of their problems. And it just isn't if you don't do the internal work as well.
Yeah, and who knows that better than you? And it was so beautifully articulated in your book, You Have Such a Pretty Face, in which, of course, you talk about that weight loss and the aftermath, and that you thought losing 243 pounds was going to bring you a happy life, and it did not. And what brought you a happy life was
absolutely did not. You know, it spiraled from addiction to addiction to addiction until ultimately I had to deal with what was working in the control room of my soul, just calling all the shots. And I just think, you know, people have every right to heal and to figure it out. And that's why each week, you know, I'm just so excited to be a part of helping the women in the fabulous group that we have, because, you know, they're doing the hard work and they're getting the results. And I think that's what's really the most powerful thing about the group, is that people are seeing results and seeing the changes in their day-to-day life. And that's the thing that's going to work forever, not dieting.
Amen to that. You know, I'm not an amen type of person, but I know you are. So amen to that.
And people heal.
Absolutely.
I wish there would have been a Dr. Nina in my life 18 years ago. You could have spared me a lot of pain and a lot of trouble and a lot of agony.
Well, I'm glad that I'm in your life now and you're in my life. And, you know, I just want to just bring attention to what you just said, which was helping people heal. Because so often people think they have so much shame. They think there's something wrong with them. They have no willpower. They have no control. And they're just riddled with shame, which is a feeling that there's something wrong with them. And to be able to challenge that and realize, oh, no, it's not about anything being wrong with you. There's something wrong with the way you're thinking about yourself. That is everything. Oh, my gosh. Maya is writing, you and Kelly deserve Nobel Peace Prizes, Oscars, Grammys, Emmys, and Pulitzer Prizes. Pulitzer Prizes for all you've done for us. Wow. That is beautiful.
Maya wrote that, but, you know, Maya's one of the warriors in there fighting for her life and fighting for her worth and doing all the hard work. And, you know, there are so many people out there suffering, and your suffering can come to an end. But like you say every week, Nina, you can't heal what you refuse to feel. And you can run from it as long as you want. I'm the perfect example of that. But the one thing I couldn't outrun was myself. And so once I was able to heal, everything in my life changed.
Yeah, you are a living example of that weight loss doesn't change your life, but changing your relationship to yourself changes your life. And then you move forward into life feeling good and not having to worry about what you're eating or what you're not eating or willpower or you know, eating and this is good and this is bad. I mean, just being liberated from that is everything. So
food is not your enemy. Unhealed trauma is the enemy.
Yeah. And that food is not your enemy.
You know what? I was just going to say, we'll take the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't think we'll win, but hey, I appreciate it.
I feel like I've just been nominated personally, don't you? I'm just so,
right.
It's like the honor is being nominated.
Or something.
Well, you know, what you just said, which is that you can heal. You can heal and you can live the life that you want. That is so, you embody that, and that is behind everything that you do and that I do. And I'm so glad that you called to share that. And for all of you out there, so you've heard me talk about Kelly. I even talked about you earlier, Kelly. I brought up your oft-used expression, don't set yourself on fire to keep someone else warm. So, and here you are. Right. So everyone, this is Kelly. And Kelly, you have brought us to the end of the show today. So I am so glad that you were able to call in and join me today. And I hope you'll call in again. And maybe
I will.
Yes, I'd love to. Maybe you'll be on the show sometime. And again, I know you've been here in person. That's how we met. But maybe we'll figure out something virtual. But so that is our show for today. Thank you for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am here live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts. If you want to join the Binge Free Babes, please go to bingefreebabes.com. I also have a new webinar on my brand new website. Go to Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com, and watch the webinar and get more information about what it is that I'm doing and what it is that Kelly and I are doing in the Binge Free Babes. And we hope that you will join us, and I hope you'll join me next week, next Wednesday. Stay well, stay healthy, stay safe, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.